Imagine a civilization so vast it united a quarter of humanity under a single political system, spanning from misty British forests to scorching Egyptian deserts. Rome's extraordinary collapse represents the greatest regression in human history. But what truly brought down this seemingly invincible empire? While we've long debated political and military causes, Kyle Harper reveals a hidden culprit, the natural world itself. The empire that mastered the Mediterranean ultimately succumbed to microscopic pathogens and shifting climate patterns. This ecological perspective transforms our understanding of Rome from a purely political narrative into an environmental drama where human ambition collided with biological realities. As climate anxiety grows in our own era, Rome's environmental struggles offer a sobering reminder that even the mightiest civilizations remain vulnerable to nature's whims. Rome's success was built on the Roman climate optimum, a favorable climate phase from 200 BCE to 150 CE. During this period, the Mediterranean basin enjoyed warm, wet, and stable conditions ideal for agriculture, with temperatures peaking in the mid-first century. The RCO brought increased rainfall across the Mediterranean. North Africa, Rome's granary, saw agriculture expand into now desert areas, while Egypt benefited from reliable Nile floods, with El Niño events occurring only every 20 years. This climate prosperity transformed the Mediterranean. Wheat yields soared, while olives and grapes flourished in new regions, even 500 to 700 meters above modern limits, as noted by observers like Pliny the Elder. This environmental windfall enabled Rome's population to reach 75 million, with the capital becoming the first city of 1 million inhabitants, a milestone unmatched until London in 1800. Despite their prosperity, Romans faced severe health challenges. The empire's urbanization and cross-regional movement created an unprecedented disease ecology. Life expectancy was merely 20 to 30 years, with infant mortality at 30%. Even Marcus Aurelius and Faustina lost 12 of their 14 children. Physical evidence reveals Romans were shorter than their Iron Age ancestors and medieval descendants. In Britain, the Roman conquest led to health deterioration, with males averaging 164 centimeters and females 154 centimeters. The empire experienced an antebellum paradox where progress triggered biological decline. Cities drew migrants lacking immunity to local diseases, while poor sanitation persisted despite architectural advances. Rome's daily 100,000 pounds of human waste overwhelmed disposal systems. Two primary killers emerged during summer-autumn, gastrointestinal diseases and malaria. The latter was particularly devastating, weakening victims and enabling secondary infections. Rome's extensive trade networks, especially after annexing Egypt, created pathways for new diseases. Indian Ocean trade increased from 20 to 120 vessels yearly, transforming the empire into a superconductor for pathogens, particularly from Central Africa. In AD 162, returning Roman legions allegedly released a pestilential vapor from a temple chest during Seleucus' plunder, an incident blamed for the Antonine Plague that spread from Persia to Gaul. The pandemic triggered religious panic, with Apollo's temples becoming crisis centers. Stone oracles commanded towns to perform rituals and erect Apollo statues to combat the unfertile plague. The pathogen, believed to be smallpox, caused fever, black pustular rash, eye irritation, and bloody stools. Survivors carried permanent scars from fallen pustules. The plague devastated populations. In Sacnopio Nisos, one-third of adult males died within 2 months. By 172 CE, the military was nearly extinct. The economic impact was severe. Imperial silver mining collapsed, causing monetary crisis and plummeting land values. With 10-20% mortality across the empire, the pandemic claimed 7 to 8 million lives from a population of 75 million, making it history's deadliest disease event to that point. Though the empire proved resilient, populations never fully recovered to pre-plague levels. Rome's Millennium Celebration in AD 248, featuring 32 elephants, 60 lions, and exotic beasts, would be its last secular games. Within a year, the empire began unraveling through collapsed frontiers, currency, and political unity. The Roman climate optimum ended, yielding to the late Roman transition. Solar radiation plummeted in the AD 240s, causing severe drought across the Mediterranean's southern rim. Egypt, Rome's breadbasket, suffered critically. Nile flood patterns shifted from favorable to erratic after AD 155, with El Niño events increasing from once every 20 years to every 3 years, devastating crops. Failed Nile floods in AD 244-246 prompted emergency measures. Oxyrhynchus officials demanded private grain registration and made compulsory purchases at inflated prices. By 248, severe shortages led officials to abandon food supply management. The plague of Cyprian struck during this climate crisis. This pandemic brought acute fatigue, bloody stool, fever, lesions, and hemorrhaging, leading to debilitation. Contemporary accounts described it spreading like fire through communities. Alexandria's population dropped by 62%. The plague, whether pandemic influenza or viral hemorrhagic fever, combined with depleted imperial reserves, proved catastrophic. Unlike after the Antonine Plague, the empire couldn't recover. The 4th century initially brought climate stability that strengthened the late empire, with ceased volcanic activity and peak solar output around AD 300 warming the region. However, a severe drought in Central Asia, AD 350-370, the worst in two millennia, forced nomadic Hunnic migrations westward. By AD 370, they had crossed the Volga with superior cavalry tactics and composite reflex bows. The Huns' arrival displaced Gothic peoples, leading 100,000 Gothic refugees to seek Roman protection in 376. Mismanagement of this crisis sparked rebellion and the Battle of Adrianople in 378, where Emperor Valens and 20,000 elite troops perished, Rome's worst military defeat. When Alaric united the Goths in 395, multiple invasions followed. Gothic forces in 405, then Vandals, Alans, and Suevi crossing the Rhine in 406, settling in Gaul and Spain. These migrations, driven by Hunnic expansion into Hungary, culminated in Alaric's sack of Rome in 410, the first foreign capture since 390 BC, devastating imperial prestige. Justinian's reign, 527-565 CE, began with remarkable achievements. Peace with Persia, Western reconquests, and the Hagia Sophia's construction. But in 541, plague struck Pelusium, reaching Constantinople by spring 542. The Justinianic plague's pathogen, Yersinia pestis, originated in western China. The late Holocene's coldest period, 530s-540s, likely triggered its spread through disrupted rodent populations. Constantinople's death toll rose from 5,000 to 16,000 daily. Officials recorded 230,000 deaths before stopping counts, with estimates reaching 300,000, roughly half the capital's population. Plague immunity proved temporary, allowing Yersinia pestis to persist through recurring outbreaks for two centuries. The first pandemic, AD 541-749, repeatedly devastated Constantinople, culminating in a 740s wave that required population replacement through forced migration. The plague, combined with the late antique Little Ice Age, reversed centuries of growth and drained Rome's vitality. As Gibbon observed, the marvel isn't Rome's fall, but its longevity. Their fate demonstrates how even advanced societies remain vulnerable to nature's microscopic threats and climate disruptions.